But we're here to commemorate the passion of Jesus Christ, to remember his suffering and death, maybe to marvel at what he did, maybe to think kind thoughts of him. But if that's all we do, we will miss the most important aspect. We must in the end, or we must as the most important part, apply his suffering and his death to ourselves by faith. Jesus' passion was for the purpose to save sinners. Jesus' humiliation in suffering and death was to redeem his people, to be able to forgive them and restore them to God. He must suffer and die in their place. For it to be our place, for it to be in your place, you must. Yes, you must know it. You must agree to it, but you must personally, by faith, embrace it, appropriate it, apply it to yourself. Why did Christ suffer? 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins. Ephesians 1:7, to secure the forgiveness of sins, to effect a reconciliation between God and men. 2 Corinthians 5:20. To render inoperative him who had the dominion of death, that is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. To destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. To perfect for all time those sanctified by that offering, Hebrews 10:14. Why did he die? For our sins. The hymn writer says, "Oh, what our Lord suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, thine deadly pain." He suffered to deal with our sin, and he suffered because of his love toward us. His love toward us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right? John 3:16, to deal with our sins. And the gift was a man like us in every way, without sin, to deal with our sin. Born to die, born to suffer and die in our place as a gift from God, because we were sinners who could not save ourselves. His love, his compassion, his mercy toward sinners, fallen, lost, enslaved to sin. Titus 3:5 says, according to his mercy, he saved us. Why did Christ suffer and die? Because he loved us, and by his suffering and death, he could save us from our sin. He could do this because he was sinless. He could take our place because he was righteous. He was absolutely righteous. Not only do we have the testimony of his life, but we have the testimony of his trials that show he was righteous. We have the testimony of the secular courts. Why the trials? Why the Roman judgment seat? Why Pilate? Pilate confirmed again and again that Jesus was innocent. He was righteous. He didn't deserve to die, yet he died. He didn't deserve the cross, yet he went there. That tells us Jesus was not making satisfaction for his own sins, but for our sins. He was not suffering and dying for an offense to the state. Pilate declared him innocent, and yet he was still condemned. And since Pilate declared him innocent, do you know this? You ever think about this? Since Pilate declared him innocent as the governing authority, it was unjust for the Jews to take him and crucify him. The Jewish trials were a mockery of justice, a sham. You think what you've seen this week is a travesty of justice? Jesus was without any sin at all. Completely. In all things, perfect. And by Pilate's exoneration, we are reminded that Jesus was righteous, but was also condemned for another reason. For us, the unrighteous. The just for the unjust. 1 Peter 3:18 says, but also we learn that this was the plan of God, and that Jesus must be condemned by God no less. He was condemned by God for us. If we are to be exonerated, Jesus must be condemned. If we the guilty are exonerated, Jesus, who is not guilty, must be condemned. Therefore, since he did not make satisfaction to men, and he did not make satisfaction to Pilate or Rome or the Jews, what he was doing was making satisfaction to God. And this is why Jesus must endure the curse of God, the cross. It was more than an instrument of man to put to death. It was an innocent man taking the curse of God for me, for you, for all who will believe. A righteous, just, holy, sinless, undefiled man taking the wrath of God for sinners. Substitution. This is what we call vicarious atonement. Sacrificial substitution in the place of. God required it of us, but he accepted Jesus in the place of us. The just for the unjust, the sinless for the sinner. So 1 Corinthians 5:21, you're familiar. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. What is it then to believe in Jesus that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate? What is it to believe in the passion of Christ? What is it to believe in the suffering and death of the cross? It's not only a belief in history or the historical Jesus. There's so many that are going to be condemned forever who believe in the historical Jesus and believe in the crucifixion. But a belief in Jesus, the innocent one, that he suffered in my place, this is what we must believe, and applying it to us, embracing that gift, holding on to it as the only way to life, as Jacob held on to the angel of the Lord, who was the pre-incarnate Christ, and would not let him go. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "What, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." John 3:14, he said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." It was necessary that Christ make satisfaction by suffering and death. It was necessary for the truth of God and the justice of God required it. It was necessary for the love and mercy of God that he made sure of it. And satisfaction could only be made by suffering and death of the Son of God. And that at the hands of God. And to believe it is to know it, to assent to it, and to embrace it with all your heart, personally. So commemorate the death of Christ, of course. Praise God and acknowledge he is the Lord. Go through all the feelings of it, the grief. Do you go through that? The grief, the pity, the sorrow, the awe, the wonder, the feelings of love and joy. Go through that. But remember one of the four soils that fell away. They had joy, right? And remember, many on the day of the Lord judges, many say, "Lord, Lord." He says, "I never knew you. Depart from me." So above all, make sure you are commemorating, praising, and joyful because you have said in your heart of hearts, "O God, let it be for me. It must be for me." Right? Let his suffering and death and agony on the cross be for me, for you. I have to have your salvation. I am nothing without Christ. I am lost. I can do nothing. Give to me your free forgiveness. Cry out to him, "Pardon all my sin." Because Jesus, the holy and righteous one, has been lifted up to die. I cannot live and I cannot hope without this one. I cannot have joy. See, I cannot have real joy. I cannot really truly praise you without this forgiveness, so I look to no other, save me. And if you cry that, if you cry that out to the Lord, He will save you. I remind you what the Lord said. If you call upon Him like that, from a sincere, humble, needy heart, John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. John 3:15, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life.